I went home and went to bed last night. So anyway, I forgot to tape. Okay, so I'm going to repeat for myself or for people at home just briefly. I have got a relational database I'm setting up. I'm looking at third normal form. And third normal form, the first rule of fit is first normal form is that there are no repeating groups. So I am setting up a table that is made up of an ID number, a student table that's made up of an ID number, name, address, major, and ID number is the primary key. I can't put the courses that the people, that person is taking on that table because I would have repeating groups. I would put the course and the grade, the course and the grade, the course and the grade, and have repeating groups. So I'm setting up a second table called STU Courses Table. And on it, so far, I've got the ID and the course number. And we're at the point of trying to figure out what the primary key is going to be. So what would be the primary key for this table? ID number, then I can only take one course. Okay? The college is going to go down the tubes if they only let each student take one course. Okay? So if course number, if ID number is the primary key,
student ID,
you can only take one course. Remember, a primary key can be made up of more than one field. So what would be a table to go in and uniquely find out about a course that a student has taken?
A student is only going to take the course once.
Well, good question.
The answer is right
that,
there.
No, not completely, but anyway.
You could add other fields.
Right. I mean, no, yes, the person, again, this college is going to go out of business if when you flunk a course they say, tough, you had your chance, it's all over. Okay, you can never take that course again, therefore you can't get your degree, therefore, etc. So clearly we've got to have it set up so that they can retake the course. Okay, so anyway, I haven't finished putting the fields on there. I stopped at that point. So, okay, maybe that's the first question, is what fields do I put on here, and then what do I make a primary key? So what are the fields? What other fields should I put on?
Year and term.
Right. So I got to put on when it's taken, and I usually call it semester year. So I can put on fall 15. F15 would say that they're taking it in fall 15. And what else do I need to put on?
Your status of the freshman.
The grade.
Grade. I don't care about their status when they're taking a course. If I want their status, I put it on over there. Okay, I mean, the student table is going to have a lot more information than I've got on there. They're probably going to have the date that they first entered and all of that kind of stuff. Okay, so those are the four fields that I'm going to put on the student course table. I'm going to have their ID number, their course number, the semester year that they took it, and the grade. And every single course that they take is going to have that information on it. Every single record is going to have that information. So student 111 taking CIS 159 in the spring of 15 and is going to obviously get an A. And student 112 is taking, or 111 again, I guess I should go with that. Student 111 is taking CIS 160 or whatever in the spring of 15 and took and so forth. And the grade obviously doesn't get ended until the end of the semester when they're given the grade. But you could have multiple records like that. So in this particular one, the student ID is the same, so it can't be the ID. The semester year is the same. The course changed. Okay? But let's say they don't do it, and I'm going to go to 160,
is going to take taken in the fall of 15 because they got an F in it. Okay, so they're going to... They got an F in it, so they're retaking it, and right now there's a space there. And after the fall of 15, they will get a grade in it. Okay, so looking at that, what is the primary key? And I didn't have to take a picture of that because I'm writing here. Anyway, what's the primary key? What's the thing that's going to be uniquely identify the record? And again, it can be made up of multiple fields.
ID number, semester, year, and course number.
Yeah.
You have to use all three?
I have to use all three.
Oh, boy.
So this is going to be the primary key. As I said, it can be made up of multiple fields.
Why isn't it just the course number? And oh, I see, because you can have another student.
Because this person is taking 111, student 111
right.
is taking the same course. The only thing that's different is the semester they're taking it in.
Right, okay.
And then the next student might be student 112.
And he might
that is also taking
course.
CIS 160 in the spring of 15. And got a B or whatever.
Right.
But you've also got that. So that one, the only thing that's different in that between the second and the fourth record is that it's a different student ID. Between the second and the third record, it's a different semester. Okay, but you'll never, that's why you needed the semester in the semester year, because otherwise the same student can't take the same course. If I don't have the semester year there, the student can't take the same course. Okay, and so you've got to have that. So the primary key is the ID number plus the course number plus the semester year, because I need to have it unique. Okay? So that would be my primary key. So this gets into the what we said about no repeating groups. But by making each one of those a separate record, I no longer have repeating groups. And I can have two records for student 112 and 10 records for student 113, and I can have as many records as I want. There is no limit to the number of records that I can have. But there was a problem with repeating groups. And I always tell the story, and I'm sorry to bore you if you've already heard it, about when I placed an order and I wanted to order 7 things. And I got to the 5th thing, and the person thanked me for my order. I was doing it over the phone. And I said, but I have 2 more things I want to order. And the person said, you can't. Okay? Basically because she had 5 slots to put things in for an order. And once I filled up those 5 slots, repeating groups, I couldn't place anything else. And I got insistent that I wanted the 2 or more things. And so she made me give her my name, address, everything all over again, and made a whole new order for me for those 2 items. So I had one order for the 5 items and one order for the 2 items, because they had set up the file such that there was room for 5 items and they had repeating groups. And, you know, that just stood out at me as... This is the problem with repeating groups, is that I can't order these 2 things without giving my life history a second time. Okay. So, that's the deal there. Now, I can also have a course table. And, in fact, I probably would. I would have a course table, and this would have the course number as the primary key. And it would have all the information about the course. The name of the course, how many credits the course was. Well, we can put some of that in. So we can say I would have the course name, now what I've got is this table over here gets called a bridge table. Also, it's a regular table, but it's also a bridge table because it is a combination of linking to those two tables. So from here, I can link over if I want to, if I'm looking at the student's courses and I want to find out who that student is, I can use the ID number to link over to the student table. If I want to know what course they're taking, I can use the course number to link to the course table. Okay, so I have all of the information available. What you don't want to have is you don't want to repeat information. I want to have the student's name in the system once. I don't want to have the student's name in the system again. Because, okay, let's say the student changes their name. I've got to then change it every place I have it, if I have it more than once. If I only have it on one table, then I'm all set. I just change it once. And you want to link in to that table whenever you want student information. You don't want it floating around in a lot of different places. Okay? So, that is the start of no repeating groups. And that's not what I wanted. I want to be in that. Okay, so it says here, a relation is in first normal form if it does not contain repeating groups. Okay, a relationship is in second normal form if it is in first normal form and no non-key attribute is dependent on only a portion of the key. Okay, so that's second normal form. So if I go back over and look at my example, I actually have done that in the one place where I have a multiple part key. Okay, if I only have a one part key, it's not a problem. Okay, because again, what it said was, a relationship is in second normal form if it's in first normal form and no non-key attribute is dependent on only a portion of the primary key. Well, in my example, there is only one that has a multi-part primary key. So that's the only one we're concerned about. And in fact, it works because I have grade here. And grade is for that student, a particular student taking a particular course in a particular semester. So it is dependent on all three parts. Okay, because the grade is a student, a particular student, taking a particular course in a particular semester. So it's dependent on all three things. Okay. And I'm not allowed to carry any data on that table that is not dependent on all three things.
This is like the oil assignment, a little bit.
The oil assignment?
Oil.
Oil, yes. Yes, very much so. It's just another example of it. Okay, so this one is... The grade is dependent on all three parts of the keys of the key, so it meets second normal form. Yes, no, maybe? So if I try putting any data, and unfortunately I can't think of anything, but if I try putting any data on there, for example, if I try to put the course name on here, well, course name is only dependent on course number. So I can't have the course name there. I can't have the student name there because student name is only dependent on the student number. And there's, as I said before, there's a multitude of reasons why I wouldn't want to have it there. One is that I only want to carry significant data once, or any data once, really. Okay. The only thing that you carry multiple times is the things that do the linking, like ID number and course number, because those are the things that are linking and tying the tables together, so those things have to be carried multiple times. But the data itself, I don't want to carry multiple times. Okay. Third normal form. A relationship is in third normal form if it is in second normal form, and if the only determinants it contains are candidate keys. Okay. So, the only determinants it contains are candidate keys. So, for example, a candidate key would be Social Security number. So if I decided I needed to carry the student's Social Security number, that is a candidate key. In other words, that could have been the key. And in fact, for many years here at the college, we illegally use the Social Security number as our key, student key. Okay, that's illegal. You're not allowed to use the Social Security number that way. But you can carry it, and so that becomes a candidate key if you don't mind breaking the rules, or breaking the law. Okay, so that's a candidate key. But let's say I wanted to carry the name of the major. Okay, I can't put major name in here, because if I put major name in here, major name is dependent on major. It is not dependent on ID. So I can't carry the major name there. So if I want to know something about the major, I can set up a major table, and on the major table, I can put my major, and we're assuming this is a code, and then I can put the major name. And then I can put the chair of that for that major and that sort of thing. And that becomes the primary key. And so now, if I want to find out the major, I can link from the major code on the student table to the major code on the major table, and I can find out the name of the major and who's in charge of that major and all that sort of stuff. But I can't carry major name on the student table, because if I carried major name there, it is dependent on major. It is not dependent on ID. Okay, the name of the major is dependent on the major. Now, for a lot of practical purposes, I don't want to carry the major name in all those places, because when I change the major name, I'd have to find every student in that major and change their name, the major name for them. And I don't want to do that. I want to change it once in the major table, and magic happens, and everybody's now in the new major. Okay? So it's a lot of these things, when you think about them, are extremely practical. You know, I don't carry things that are dependent on a field. So this is, I don't carry the major name over there. Questions. So again, those rules are written to get you a high salary. I am convinced that a lot of what is written in technology is there to get you a high salary, okay? But anyone that wrote this, a relationship is in first normal form if it does not contain repeating roots. A relationship is in second normal form if it's in first normal form and no need. Non-key attribute is dependent on only a portion of the primary key. What does that say? And then a relationship is in third normal form if it's in second normal form and if the only determinants it contains are candidate keys. Major, if I try to put major name in, major becomes a determinant. And I can't have a determinant unless it's a candidate key. Candidate key meaning an alternate for what I've already got as the key.
So were any of those tables in third normal form?
They all were.
Oh. Okay.
I claim. Okay, I claim that they were all in third normal form. because I didn't break any of the rules. I'm now at four tables. What happened to my fourth table?
It's doing something up at the top there.
What happened? I don't like this.
Letting me add stuff at a certain point, right?
Yeah, I
think so.
This is really kind of strange because I'm... Hope
they made it worse.
Okay, so I'm going to edit, select all, edit, copy. Isn't that neat? Whoops. Edit. Let's try that one more time. Edit, select all, edit, copy. I'm going to insert a new page and I'm going to paste it in. Yes. Okay, so now I'm going to put what I had down here. What did I have after major?
Major name.
That as a candidate.
Okay.
But I thought I had written
Social Security
number. Social Security number, yeah. Thank you. That was a candidate key, and then I came over here and I added a major table that had major as the primary key and major name and chair. And I think that's all the stuff that I added. And so now let's insert a blank page so I go away from that page. Okay, and it's still there. Good. And the stuff down below, I have no idea what I've got. I didn't really need that, but I'll keep that up there. Okay, I think I've got myself back organized. I have no idea why it suddenly decided it wasn't going to keep that. Because if I'm writing here, I shouldn't have to take a picture. It should just keep it. Anyway, where was I? Was I someplace before my little disaster happened? You asked if these were all, and I said yes, because all of the data relates directly to the primary key. There aren't any repeating groups. And there's nothing that is dependent where major is a determinant. This is not a determinant. And Social Security number is the candidate key. That's an element that I made in Social Security number. Okay. And I cannot have major name in there because then major becomes a determinant. It determines the major name. And I can't do that. The only thing I can have on that table are things that relate directly to the ID. In other words, relate directly to the student. Okay, major relates to the student, but the name of the major doesn't. I can change the name of the major, and it doesn't impact. Okay, questions. Okay, a lot of the examples that we've been looking at are donor tables. So I'm going to look at the donor set of tables that we are looking at. So I have the donor table. And I have the donor ID, which is the primary key. And I have the donor name, and I have another bunch of stuff about the donor. I have things, if you look at the tables that I have things like year goal and that sort of thing. So I'm going to go over to this, and here's the donor table. Okay, So this is the table that I'm talking about here. And in this particular example, DID number would be the primary key. Okay, so I have the donor ID is the primary key. And I've got the ID number, name, street address, city, state, zip, date they first donated, their year goal, how much I want to get out of them, and the contact information. Okay, so those are all on the donor table. Okay, then the next table that I have that goes with this is I have a donation table and I have a drive table. Okay, so there are the donation table and the drive table. So for the donation, or actually let's go look at the drive table. The drive table is very straightforward. It's got a drive number, a drive name, the drive chair, last year and this year. So it's all about the drive, and the primary key is the drive number. And everything there is about the drive. So it's not a problem. Okay, then I get to donations. And donations are similar to what we last talked about with courses. Donations are similar to courses in that I want to get more than one donation out of people. Okay, I don't want to have a donation and I don't want to have a limit. So that when I have my 5 slots filled, I say to them, I'm sorry, you can't donate anymore. Okay, not very practical. So what I've got here is a table that's made up of ID number, drive number, contribution date, and contribution amount. Okay, so if I go back and look at this, over here, where I started to do it. Okay, I've got the drive table. And the drive table has the drive number as the primary key, and then it has the drive name and the other stuff that we saw when we look at the descriptions of those tables. Okay, then I have my donation table. Now, I did this. This could have been done two different ways. And I did it one way, and I'm not sure which way is better. But if you look at this, I had the donor ID. And then I had the drive number, and then I had the contribution date, and I had the contribution amount. And this looks an awful lot like the one that I just did with student, as in donor ID is the student, drive number is the course, contribution date is the date they made the contribution, which is like the date they took the course. And the contribution amount is the amount. Okay. I decided to have all three of these as the primary key. Now, I could have made an argument that the drive number really wasn't necessary there. That the donor and the contribution date were enough. But I decided the drive was something I really wanted to know, and people might make contributions at the same time to two different drives. So I basically put in the drive number as part of the key. I would still want to keep the drive number there, but I could have put it as just a separate field. Okay, so whether the drive number really belongs as part of the primary key or not, is I like it there, so I kept it there. but I can make an argument why it shouldn't, it doesn't have to be there. Because donor ID along with contribution date would do it. And don't forget, with contribution date, you can set up date and time. And so nobody can give at the same second twice. So I'm okay on time, mixing date and time in. You know, the chances are that they're not going to give. I think the reason I put drive number in there is I could see people writing two checks to me or making two deposits for the different drives at the same time, but I could never see them making two deposits to the same drive.
If you didn't have drive number, you really couldn't link over to the drive table.
Well, I'd have to have it on there as data, but I just might not have it as part of the primary key. I would definitely want to keep it there as data. And I decided to make it as part of the primary key, but as I said, I can make an argument for the fact that if I have the donor ID and the contribution date, okay, and then I put in the drive number, but I don't have to have it as part of the key. I made that as part of the key. So the tables, as I set them up, were like this. And again, this works because contribution amount is dependent on all three things. Contribution amount is what donor gave to what drive on what particular date. So it works just fine. Okay. So that's the three tables that I set up for the donor, donation, and drive. Okay, so now if we go back to the handout that I was looking at, and where do I want to be? I think I want to be here when I go back. Okay, so those are my three tables, and I've set up the three tables, and I didn't put the primary key on them. Okay? Notice on all of these tables, there is nothing next to key. If I put the key on, it would say PRI on those three lines to indicate that it was the primary key. Okay, so if these three are the primary key, it would say PRI, PRI, PRI on the top three, not on the bottom one. Indicating that those were part of the primary key. Okay, so now I'm coming down and I am looking at multiple tables. Make these a little, not that much bigger. Okay, so here when I am doing primary key, I mean doing multiple tables, I want to get data from multiple tables. Now one way to do that is with subqueries, and we've already looked at how to grab information from a subquery and then use it for something else. But this one is I want to print out information for each record, and I want to get some of the information from one table and some of the information from the other table. So I said here, select DID number, name, contribution amount. From donor 2011, comma, donation 2011, where the donor ID on the donor table, which is DID number, equals the ID on the donation table, which is called ID number. Okay. So I am saying link these two tables together based on the ID. Okay, link them together based on the ID, yeah.
So, I noticed in the above paragraph it said you didn't really need to have it be PID number.
Yep, I'm going to get there in a sec.
Oh, okay.
Yes. When I made these tables, and then I decided to keep it because it kind of made the information It showed it. Okay, when I made these tables, I usually make the things that link together the same name for my own sanity, as I said up there. Because if I call it DID number on one table and ID number on another table, I'm going to go nuts. I need to call them the same thing so I know they're the same data. I didn't on this one. If you look up at the top when I was defining the tables, I called it DID number on the donor table. And then when I got down to the donation table, I just called it ID number. Okay? And that's not what I usually do. I made a mistake. I would usually put that D in there and call that DID number, or take the D out. But I would usually make them the same. And what did I just do? Okay. But I didn't. So, when I wrote this line right here, it had different names. Well, I guess I can bring it up. It had different names. So, I was able to say, I just want the DID number, the name, and the count amount from donor and donation. And then do the link on them. But if I love it. Okay. I should click on my little thing and see if that will do it. If I had called the DID number in both. DID. ID number in both, then I would have to change that to say DID number. And I would have had to have changed this and picked one of the tables, doesn't matter which one, and called that donor 2011 dot DID number. Okay? So that's what I would have had to have done if I had given them the same name. And the reason is this. If the same field appears on both of the tables that I have in the from, then it's going to say, which one do you want? If the two tables, if donor 2011 has a donor ID, a DID number, and donation 2011 has a DID number, and I say, show me DID number, it says, which one? And so I have to clarify for it which one I want. And so I write table name dot field name. And that tells it I'm talking about the DID number that is on donor 2011. Now, in fact, it doesn't matter because what did I say in the last line? I said where they're equal. So if they're equal, it doesn't matter whether I chose donor 2011 or donation 2011 because they're the same. Because I'm saying only do it where they're equal. Okay? But it's not smart enough to figure that out, so we have to help it and tell it that. If you remember back in 2000, if you took 120, if access, when access goes into SQL, it does it, Microsoft does it for you, and it puts the table name in front of every single field. That's not necessary. It only has to be in front of fields that appear on one or more tables that I have in the from clause, or more than one table, sorry. More than one table I have in the from clause. If I had three tables in the from clause, if it appeared on two of them, I'd have to specify. In other words, you have to specify if when SQL gets resolved, it's going to get confused and say, which one? And if DID number appears on both tables, it's going to say, which one? Okay? If it only appears on one table, then it says, oh, okay, I know which one, and it takes it. Okay, so nothing else. Name only appeared on one table, the donor table. Cont amount only appeared on the donation table. So I don't have to have the table name in front of them. I can if I want to, but I don't need to have the table name in front of them because it's not going to get confused.
But like you said, if you're confirming it in the where clause, you don't have to specify?
Yes, you have to still. It's
okay.
Okay, it's only intelligent to a certain level. We're smarter than the machine. And we can figure out that it's the same, but no, it doesn't.
Okay?
Every once in a while, we actually are smarter than machines. Okay? So, that's the way I would have had to have written it if I had done what I usually do, which is make the fields that are the same data the same name. Okay? If I'm talking about a person's ID, I want to establish that when I talk about that person's ID, I will always call it DID number.
If you were just looking for a particular person's name in the where clause, and that's only in the
I one still table? Have to link the tables if there's more than one table.
Okay.
Or else, if you don't link the tables, you get every possible combination.
Okay.
And you don't want that. Okay, I think... Okay, how many of you have actually done all these tables? At some point, I think I've asked you to do donor, right? Did you do donation or drive?
I don't think so.
For your own sake, for just playing around with this, I think I may ask you in the next assignment. Okay, closing, Claire. I think you will find that there's not much data, and I would go ahead and make all three of them. I'm going to cross my fingers that I have them all out there, and we'll see. Wait a minute, I'm not going in there. Putty, that's what we want, putty, right?
Mm-hmm. You made us do the donor table.
I made you do the donor, and I thought at some point, I thought... Okay, and I want to change the colors. So the default foreground is going to be black. And the default background is going to be white. And then open, and let's hope I remember my IDs. Whoops. And then MySQL hyphen U P grocer hyphen P. Okay, so let's see what I was doing there. I think I just have donor. Select or describe, that's what I actually want to see. DESC donor. Oh, I have to use donor, DESC donor. Okay, so I have the donor table, DESC donation. I have a donation table. And notice these I have my primary keys on. And DESC drive. And I have my drive table. And again, notice that I have my primary keys on those. Okay, so this time I just called them ID number. I didn't call them DID number. Okay, I've got about 1,000 versions of the donor tables, I think, out there. So donor 2011 was the one where I made the mistake. This one is just plain donor. So I'm going to say select. Okay, I'm going to try to say that. Select ID number, name, cont, amount from donor slash comma rather donation, where donor ID number equals donation ID number. And what did I get? Okay, what happened? What are you seeing there? It is saying basically the error is column ID number in field list is ambiguous. Okay, so I basically did not specify the table. And so the error that it's giving me is that it's ambiguous. It can't figure it out. So now if I go in and I say select donor ID number, and just so you can see that they're the same, I'm going to get them both, except I need a comma between them. I would not bother to do this because I'm going to get the same thing, but I'm going to do it just cont amount. From donor, comma, donation, where donor ID number equals donation ID number. And you can see that the ID numbers are the same because I said show me first the donor ID, then show me the donation ID. And so it's giving me, and you can see, I'm getting exact matches on the IDs, okay, because I specified only where they're equal. So that's what it's going to give me. Okay, so now let's take out the where clause. So I'm going to say select donor ID number, donation ID number, name, cont, amount from donor, comma, donation. And I'm quitting. Look what I got.
Wow.
Okay, I got every possible combination. And I can't even show them all. But I got every possible combination because I didn't do the link. And so what I've got is ID number from the donor table is linking to every single contribution. The ID from the donor table is linking to every single contribution. And so I've got the ID number from the donor table is listing to all of the different contributions. Actually,
that's if you don't specify the field and table from the front clause.
If you don't use the where clause to link them.
Okay.
That's what happens if you don't use the where clause to link.
Equals donation, or where donor to ID number equals donation to ID number.
Yeah. And I eliminated that, and when I eliminated that where clause, I got every possible combination. Okay. So there's Stephen Grove. Has six. So if I come down here and say select asterisk from donation, okay, I've got 6 donations. And if you look at the whoever at the bottom, you can see whoever got each one of the contributions. Wait a minute. 1111, am I looking at the wrong place? It's... No, 11111, 12, yeah. That's right. Okay. So whoever who is 5 or 36363, if you look, they got the 6 donations listed after them. If you look at the donation table, they got the 6 donations listed after them. So everybody got the 6 donations listed after them. Okay, everybody got the 6 donations. So there were 6 donations, and then if I go in here and say select ID number name from donor, I got 11 rows. 11 times 6 is 66, and that's what I got, was 66. So I've got every possible combination, and I got 66 outputs. So that where clause is critical. And if when you're doing homework you suddenly see 100 things showing up, my bet is you forgot the where clause. Okay? You didn't link them together. Okay. The next example on here has 3 tables linked together. And we can do that one. Let me see how I can make it so that that will go up and that will... No, that's not... That's up too far. I want it there. I'm not going to be able to do it, I don't think, anyway. There we go. Now I can do it more. Okay, so... I'm going to do this. I'm linking 3 tables. Now again, with DID number, I've got to specify. So mine was called ID number, so I'm saying select donor.ID number, name, contribution amount, donation.drive number, but I could have also used drive.drive number, and then drive name from, and I list my 3 tables, donor, donation, and drive, where, and now I gotta link them all. Donor.id number equals donation.id number, and donation.id drive number equals drive dot drive number. Ta-da. Okay, so now I have linked 3 tables because I want information from the donor table and the donor table, and I want information from, let's see, what did I do?
I think you're missing a comma.
Yes, that's what I did. See what I did?
That's weird.
You did that again.
It's weird that it didn't give you an error.
I know, because it gives me an alias. This is perfectly acceptable. It takes, when I wrote here, I wrote name and I forgot the comma there. And so it took cont amount as the alias for name. and wrote it over the column. Okay? And as long as I didn't give this to my boss, I'm fine. But that's what it did. So that's why there was no error. It says that's fine. You can do that. And it's not a problem. However, it's going to be a problem.
You submit that to your boss and say, you know.
Can I go in there and change that? I can't, can I?
Yeah.
I have to go into the editor.
No, you don't.
Okay, tell me how to change that.
Just go up on the arrow key.
Go left with your arrow key.
Yeah, just go up and left.
Left. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you're right. As I said, I avoid putty. Okay, so there's my comma, right?
And then do it, yeah.
Huh? And then, do I have to go all the way back down?
Yeah.
No, I ran it.
I make my tables go.
What just happened?
It didn't change,
okay. So I'm going to go over, and I've got a comma there.
Maybe you do have to go all the way
Maybe
back.
I have to do something, go all the way back.
You also have a space.
But now I've got the, right here, why isn't this going to work?
There.
It did.
Maybe it's like stored memory or something.
Maybe I didn't hit enter or something. Whatever. It worked this time. So now I've got, and so ID and name came from the donor table. Card amount came from the donation table. Drive number came from ego, but I said take it from the donation table. And drive name came from the drive table. So I've got all three going together. Okay, so I've said show me the donor ID, because ID appeared on two tables, so I have to specify. The name, the card amount, donation drive number, but I could have written drive number. Doesn't matter. From donor, donation, drive, where, and now I'm doing the linking. The ID on the donor table to the donor ID on the donation table, and the drive number on the donation table to the drive number on the drive table. So I'm linking them so that it is doing the connection. And when it can do the connection, then I get the right results.
I have a question. Suppose you were linking the ID number, you were going to select one of the ID numbers, and let's say the second table, it was the foreign key. Would it matter then? What would it be better to select the primary key?
You have to link the primary keys.
Okay.
But one of them is a foreign key. I mean, for example, donation, the ID number is part of the primary key there.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the full key on the donor table.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a foreign key. Okay, we haven't talked about foreign keys, but foreign keys, something that can link into a primary key is called a foreign key.
Right, yeah.
And donation ID is linking into that primary key. And donation drive number, it's a primary key here, and so donation is linking into, so that is a foreign key.
So it still wouldn't matter what you select as long as it's the same.
Okay. I'm not sure I'm following what you just said, but that's all right. Wait a minute. If I go back into this, and God knows where I have it. Somewhere I wrote those down. Nope. There. Okay. So, what I'm linking is I'm linking, this ends up being a foreign key because it is the thing that I'm using to link into there. This ends up being a foreign key because it is the thing I am linking into there. So the thing that I link to a foreign key, and that's foreign key.
The base stays primary.
A foreign key links to a primary key. And this would have still worked if drive number was not part of the primary key, because the thing that links does not have to be part of the primary key. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. Okay, so those are foreign keys, and foreign keys link to a primary key. Okay. So that, let's see, I want to copy that page. I think I'll do that when I get home. okay, so that was linking three tables together, and I guess that's the last one. Okay. There also could have been other where clauses. So let me go back into here, and if I bring that up again, and I get rid of the semicolon, and I say where contribution amount is greater than 30. Hello, what's wrong with that? Oh, and. Not where again, because I already have where. And contribution amount is greater than 30. Okay, so now I've only got the ones that had a contribution amount greater than 30. So in other words, I can do all of this linking stuff, and then I can add other clauses on, like I would have had in ordinary where clauses. So I can say, and contribution amount is greater than 30. I can say, and contribution amount is greater than 30. And drive name equals animal home. I can put in all of the kinds of things that I can put into a regular one. Now, the other thing is that there is a join that you can also use. I use the where clause because I like it better, but there is also a join that you can use when you're linking tables. Instead of using the where, you can use the word join. So that's an alternative. I find it cumbersome, and I don't like the syntax of it. I like the syntax of the where a lot better because it just shows me the two things that I'm linking together, and it makes more sense to me. But there is a join as well. Okay. That ties up what I wanted to do today. And what we're going to do tomorrow, which is Thursday, tomorrow is the next day I see you, remember. What we're going to do on Thursday is bring this over into PHP. So we're going to go over into PHP and take the database and link it and you to our PHP and bring up data that is out on my tables using PHP. And then eventually we'll get to creating tables and doing all that within PHP. But we haven't got there yet. Questions? We're done.